My name is Brent Carter, and I've been in the ministry. This is my 28th year in the ministry, and I'm going to share some thoughts and ideas that God has imparted to me concerning training young men and women. And about 14 years ago, 2003, God called us in our ministry to start training some young men and women for the ministry. And so God used multiple sources and put some of my thoughts together as well, and came up with a training program called Team Training. And the word team stands for transferring Elijah's anointed mantle. And so you're going to see through these sessions that a lot of the information is based upon thoughts and information from books and things like that, but you're also going to see that the whole team training transferring Elijah's anointed mantle has been developed from the story, maybe one of my favorite stories in the Bible, developed from the story of Elijah and Elisha. So first of all, I'll start with, why is this whole team training important? I think if you were to come up with a vision statement or a mission statement, it basically is to train successors. The old statement is, I will, you will never be a success unless you have a successor. So that's kind of the goal of why this had come to be. How can I, as a man of God, train young men and women to be involved in the ministry the way God wants them to be? So I think we have to first ask ourselves a question. Why would we have a team? Why is it a must that we have a team? It requires more than I know. It can't be just based upon what I know. It's impossible for one individual to do everything. Absolutely impossible. And of course, one is too small for a success. We will never reach the top unless there's a team of people who are committed to help us get there. So it's not a lone ranger mentality. It's not do it by myself. I want to develop people that will help me get to where God wants me to be. So winning means nothing unless there are people there to celebrate it with you. So when it comes to developing a team, what a wonderful understanding when there's other people that will celebrate what God has done through all of your lives. So it comes down to only a strategic team will help you actually leverage your leadership abilities. And I think there's a lot to that statement. Leveraging our abilities, the Bible is very clear. One can do so much, but two can do so much more. And that statement, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. If you look at the example of what one horse can pull and putting a second horse with that, it's not just double. They can pull so much more than the two horses separately. So having the team aspect is what a wonderful, wonderful way to have a ministry and be involved in the work of the Lord. So then we have to ask yourself, well, why do people not have a team? Why is it that people then would shy away from having a team? And it could be that people don't see a need for a successor, or the possibility of maybe some people are scared that people are going to become better than them, or maybe an individual is not confident in their calling. But if I had to pin it down to the number one reason why people don't have a team, I believe it's insecurity. I think ministers at times can be quite insecure, and so they're very hesitant of developing a team, very nervous about putting people at times around them that are better than them. But if you and I want to be a success, it's obviously that we have to have people around us that do things better than us. Maybe one of the most important events that happened in my ministry after God called me to train young men and women was the night that I took our leadership team and we had leadership. We have leadership every week, and that night God had kind of led me to do something a little different. So I brought all the leadership team to our house, and I said, tonight leadership's going to be a little bit different. I want you, leadership team, and ones that are working with me, I want you tonight to tell me the top five things that I don't do well. And of course, for the first 10 minutes or so, people were a little nervous maybe to say anything. And then over the next hour and a half, 2 hours, I got to learn a lot from my leadership team. I got to learn a lot about the things that I don't do well. And two things happened with that. Number one, obviously, as a leader, we always must be improving. I needed to improve some aspects of my leadership and ministry. Number two was I needed to surround myself with people that did those things better than me. It wasn't going to be that I was going to be the best at every one of those items that they had mentioned, but someone else that I could bring and have on my team, transfer Elijah's anointed mantle to, people that I could have on my team that would be better than me. And so that was maybe one of, I would say, one of the turning points in my ministry is when I went through. Now, I have to say, it wasn't that exciting. It was even at times humiliating. But it was not held against my leadership. It was not held against the people that I had asked. But rather, I took it and said, okay, these are the things that they're saying that I could improve in. And so what a wonderful thing to have in your ministry, a team that works with you. So I'm going to break up this transferring Elijah's anointed mantle into different sections. First section will be creating a team. The second section will be developing a team. And the third section will be training a team. And so we'll start off with that first section. And that will be part of this first segment. First of all, creating a team. So team members need certain things. If we are creating a team, what are some of the things that a team member would need? Number one, they need challenges. You can't create a team that there's no challenges to. They must have a challenge. It's built within us to do that. They need an environment where failure is allowed to happen. And sometimes maybe even expected. Okay, for the first time we do this, it's probably not going to be right. But we're going to keep trying until we get it right. So there needs to be an environment where failure is allowed and it's not held against them. Creating a team also, there needs to be a public support. So when things happen, we praise in public and we correct in private. That's a great way to build a team and build trust. All team members, everybody on the team needs to receive first-class treatment. I think if we're building a team that is going to be built on trust and people are going to be secure in what they're doing, they need to receive first-class treatment. And we're going to see this later on through the story of Elijah and Elisha. And obviously, creating a team, they need to have your time. There is absolutely nothing more valuable to give to a person than your time. It may just be small things. It may be time spent together. It may be training. It may be listening. Number one thing that you can give to creating a team is your time. And also, the team needs to have your blessing to go when God leads them. When God called us to do this 13, 14 years ago, there was really only one requirement that he gave us, and that was, if I send you people, don't try to keep them. Now, the first thought is, well, if I'm going to put so much time and effort into training people, why wouldn't I want to keep them? Well, there may be cases where people will stay with you longer than others, but the whole idea is for God's kingdom to increase, for his kingdom to expand. And What a wonderful thing to see happen is when people that you've learned, you've taught or trained or imparted to, when they go on to be involved in ministry and there's such a sense of an accomplishment when you put into people's lives and you see them flourish, and sometimes possibly even flourish way beyond the person who's training them. It's absolutely incredible. Jack Welch says that there's four types of leaders. Number one, good values, good performance. Number two, bad values, bad performance. Number three, good values, bad performance. Number four, bad values, good performance. And so there's four types of leaders. Everyone falls into one of those. Obviously, we're all trying to strive to have both sides of that equation as good. So what was Jesus, what was his response, or how did he see the need about training leaders? You see that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him," verse 2, "and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," the Lord took time. He gave them what he had. He imparted to them his knowledge. He put into them something that after he left this earth in person, as in bodily form, that he could rely on the people that he entrusted this wonderful gospel with. And so when it comes to creating a team, if you look at, okay, I need young men and women. The Lord needs young men and women. We're in this together. We're trying to expand his kingdom. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity we have set before us. Now, we will go into the second part, and that's developing a team. So when it comes to developing a team, you could write down the Ackerman team work. And each of those letters stand for something that's extremely important to have when it's developing a team. If you looked at the T in team, you could say trust. If you're going to have a team, there's going to have to be trust, loyalty, consistency, you know, being able to delegate and believe that that person can do it. There are frustrations that come with that. There are things, well, you know what, I could have just did it easier myself. I could have done it without the mistake maybe myself. But if you're going to develop a team, you've got to trust. Not everyone is going to do it exactly the way you would do it. But without question, their talents, their abilities, God gave that to them, the gifts he's imparted to them, there's a trust that can be built. The E in team would be economy of energy. There has to be an energy. A relaxed attitude actually lengthens a man's life, Proverbs 14 and 30 tells us. And so it can't be that people are under stress all the time if they're on the team. If it's they're always looking over their shoulder, always worrying about what they're doing wrong. No, there needs to be an economy of energy, a relaxed feeling or attitude. A in team would maybe stand for affirmation, where you'll accomplish more in the next 2 months developing a sincere interest in two people than you'll hope to accomplish in 2 years trying to get two people interested in you. That was said by Tim Saunders. Just affirming to people how important they are and how valuable they are to your team, and uplifting them. There's such a wonderful feeling that people have when you affirm to them that you couldn't do it without them. You need them. And so that's an incredible feeling that they have. The M in team would stand for management of mistakes. For example, using the two-minute manager, where maybe you take, if there's an error or something went wrong or something is not happening the way you like, then you take that 30 seconds and take time to praise them for what they have been doing right and praise them for what's going good. And then take 60 seconds and deal with the problem, but then end it with another 30 seconds of praise. Just managing the mistakes. It's called the two-minute manager. a book well written on that, just allowing people to see, okay, this is what's happening that's right, this is what's happening that's wrong, but this is where we're going to get to, allowing people to feel good about it. If you go to the word work, so part of the teamwork, work, the W would stand for weekly meetings. You have to be meeting on a regular basis. The team must know, without a doubt, the direction that the leader's going. And unless there's a regular set time meeting, then it'll be easy to get off track. It'll be easy to miss, okay, where is the next part of the strategy? So having weekly meetings. O is open communication. Not presuming, not being impatient, not being prideful, but having that open communication like I did with my staff that night, and not holding it against them. They got a feeling that, okay, after just a few minutes of them taking a deep breath and realizing, okay, pastor's not trying to put us in a corner or trick us or something here, where he's allowing us to be honest. So that's that open communication. It's so important that the team is able to speak their mind in a positive way, but yet, not degrading the leader or not doing it in a way that would be unchristian, but being able to speak their mind and then having that constructive criticism, or whatever you want to call it, being able to give their thoughts and yet it not be held against them, having that open communication. R stands for recognition and reward. There is absolutely nothing wrong with allowing someone to feel like they've done a good job and rewarding them for that. And sometimes even in public, letting people know that you're so thankful for the people on your team. It builds a strong bond when people, the congregation or other leaders or people around see that, you know, the people on your team, you respect them, you're recognizing them, you're rewarding them. And then the K stands for keep on learning. We never reach a point in our ministry where I think that we could say that, okay, now I can stop learning. No matter how old we are, no matter how long we've been in the ministry, no matter how many accomplishments we have done, we must keep learning. And that is helping to develop a team, teamwork. If you want to compare it to eagles, for example, there's things that you would look for in eagles. And this comes from a book. It says, you know, the question is, do they have character? Do they have competence, and do they have chemistry? So when you're looking for a team and you're wanting to put that team together, you're looking for things to build that team around and have teamwork. And so you ask yourself these questions. Does the person have character? Do they have competence, and do they have chemistry? God really only gave me a couple of things to ask young men and women when they were invited to come and be part of our team or for us to do some training with them. And really only two things I was looking for. Number one, could they catch my vision? If they couldn't catch my vision, then I was going to have trouble. I was going to have trouble imparting to them value. I was going to have trouble imparting to them what would be maybe a benefit to them. But if they could catch my vision, that was number one. Number two, if they had desire. I just needed someone that could catch my vision and had desire to learn. I believe that if the person has desire, a lot of things can be taught. But if they have no desire to learn, almost impossible to teach someone who doesn't have desire. So you're looking at, okay, does that person have character? Does that person have competence and chemistry where they can catch my vision and they've got desire to learn? And if they can do that, then you can help develop a great team. In our next segment, we're going to finish off this developing a team and also go into the third part, which is training a team.